Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to Divine Parables, a series here on the Qalam podcast, which explores the metaphors, the examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us within the Quran. Mufti Hussein Kamani will go through in depth an analysis of all the different parables that are present within the Quran. So inshallah, go ahead, listen, benefit, share with family and friends, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. Before we get started with the session, once again, I wanted to remind everyone that alhamdulillah, Qalam is dedicated to bringing this kind of understanding and knowledge of Islam to each and every single person all around the world. We ask you to become our partners in this endeavor by supporting the work that Qalam does by going to supportqalam.com. Supportqalam.com. Go there, contribute, donate, become a sustainer, and have this as a sadaqah jariyah. Every single person that will listen, that will learn, that will benefit from it, you will have the reward of that. Jazakumullahu khairan. Now let's get on with the session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأسكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد. There is one hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in which Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم tells us to be aware of everything in this world. Everything. He صلى الله عليه وسلم said, know that everything in the world has a lack of barakah in it, a lack of blessing in it. Ala inna dunya mal'unatun mal'unun ma fiha. Mal'una la'an means something that lacks in barakah. You say la'anakallah means may Allah deprive you of His blessings, may Allah deprive you of His mercy. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that narration, after warning us to be cautious of everything in the world, he said, illa dhikrullah, except for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا وَالَاهُ, and that which connects you to the remembrance of Allah, that which brings you close to the remembrance of Allah, that which is attached to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَلِمٌ أَوْ مُتَعَلِّمٌ, or seeking knowledge, or a scholar. So from this right here, what we learn is that the two things every human being, every Muslim in particular, should constantly be connected to is dhikr and ilm. Always be connected to some form or another of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always keep yourself busy and engage in the remembrance of Allah. And the second thing is, always increase yourself in knowledge. The beauty of this deen is that it is very deep. It has so much to offer in everything that you do in life. Now, unfortunately, we live in a time where knowledge is readily available and easily accessible. Now the problem with something being easily accessible is that when something is that convenient, its value goes down. When something is rare, when the path to it is difficult, people value what's on the other side of the pathway. So there was a time where Muslims traveled from one country to another country on the back of a camel for one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This gave them appreciation for that hadith. Or someone would sit at the feet of another scholar and they would study fiqh with them, Islamic law, they would appreciate that Islamic law. The other thing about something being difficult to accomplish is that some things are not supposed to be consumed just as an end product. The process of gaining that end product is actually a part of what you're supposed to gain. So one thing is that, for example, I learned one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. That's the end product. I know the hadith. But the thing that I missed out on was the sacrifice, a struggle of gaining that hadith. And that struggle and sacrifice of gaining that hadith is a part of what I was supposed to accomplish. Therefore, along the way, what you'll find is that scholars of the past, when they traveled the world and when they sat at the feet of teachers and when they studied with them for years on year, what happened was that not only did they gain knowledge, but they developed spiritually. They became something very special. They saw the implementation of hadith in the lives of their teacher. They didn't just read the hadith on some website, somewhere online. Allah knows who posted it, Allah knows if it's authentic or not, and Allah knows in what context it's being quoted. This is the problem with knowledge today, unfortunately. People have no value for it. You know, it bothers me a lot when I see people posting a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on public forums or on a public WhatsApp group. Because for me personally, when someone posts a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a family WhatsApp group, and one of my family members may scroll through and not give any attention to that hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is such a big disrespect to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's such a big disrespect to the deen that how can someone be presented with the word of Rasulullah and they just browse right past it, not give any attention, not read that statement with the utmost respect, giving it their absolute, giving it their utmost focus. This was what the companions gave when they sat in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The companions, they described that gathering in which Sahaba sat while Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam lectured them. They say they sat with such respect, with their heads lowered down, it's as if there was a bird sitting on their head. You know, a bird only sits somewhere that's absolutely still, and they would sit respectfully, very still, very quietly. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, he was teaching hadith in Medina Munawwara. And while he was teaching hadith, the color of his face kept changing again and again. And someone asked him, what's wrong at the end of the dars, at the end of the class? Someone asked him, we noticed that your face was changing, the color was changing, why? He said, check behind me. And they lifted his sheet a little and they found a scorpion run away. He said, the scorpion was biting me again and again, but I didn't want to leave my posture and the way I was sitting out of respect of the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I would bear the pain, I would bear the difficulty, but I wouldn't bear disrespecting that gathering. Our situation today, unfortunately, people when they sit in the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's as if they're sitting to watch a movie. There's no respect, no consideration, no thought. And the thing with this ilm is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give information to people. But knowledge in Islam is a very different thing. Knowledge has a very different understanding. It's not just raw information that you pick up from anywhere. Knowledge is only given to those who sit in front of knowledge with adab. This is why Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah ta'ala, Qadi Abu Yusuf, he would say that knowledge will not offer you a little bit until you commit yourself completely to it. Even a little bit of knowledge won't come to you until you commit yourself fully to knowledge. You must know that knowledge will come with persistence. Knowledge will come with sacrifice, with mujahada and istiqamah. And if you offer these two things to knowledge, watch the way knowledge will give back to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you ilm, and it won't be pseudo-false knowledge. It won't be a false notion that I have knowledge. Because we have too many people amongst us, unfortunately, who assume they have knowledge, but in reality, they are beacons of fitna. They cause confusion amongst people. They cause people's iman to become weak, unfortunately. They take people away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. True knowledge, unfortunately, it only lies with few people. And when you see those people, just by looking at them, they will remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By sitting with those people, there is an opening of the chest. There is a peace that transfers. There is a joy when you look at them because you can tell that this is maybe how the Sahaba radhwanullahi alayhim ajma'in were. But it's very difficult to get this knowledge, because it requires proper sacrifice. And how you know a person has true knowledge is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran what true scholars look like. He says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءُ. That only scholars are fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا لِلْحَصْرِ. That scholars are people who fear Allah. Therefore we can reverse engineer this and understand that every scholar will fear Allah, and every person who fears Allah properly will have some element of knowledge, proper, pure knowledge. Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala, he addresses this issue of al-ilm al-nafi', beneficial knowledge. And in his work, Beginning of Guidance, he has a whole paragraph which is dedicated to just defining al-ilm al-nafi', what beneficial knowledge is. He says, useful knowledge is only that which increases your fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Useful knowledge is that which increases your sight into your own defects. Useful knowledge is that which increases your knowledge of how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Useful knowledge will reduce your yearning for this world. Useful knowledge will increase your yearning for the hereafter. It opens your eyes to the things that spoil your worship and will help you guard against those things. It lays bare to you the scheming of shaitan, his deceit, and his misleading of the evil scholars. He has succeeded in exposing them to the wrath of Allah through their use of religion for worldly gain. A translation of the passage. When you see this, you understand. Here he is saying that useful knowledge is that which doesn't expose the defects of other people to you. Rather, whose defects does it expose? Your own. You learn what your flaws are. Useful knowledge won't make you greedy for the world. It'll make you lose taste for the world. You won't desire it. It'll come to you. Allah will give to whoever He's written, whatever Allah has written. But you won't desire it. Its place will be under your heart, not inside your heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the people in the Quran who are very knowledgeable. In Surah Al-Jum'ah, and this is the verse we're covering today, verse number 5 and verse number 6. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. A people who were given knowledge. They were given the responsibility. حُمِّلُوهَا أَيْ كُلِّفُوا. They were given the responsibility of carrying knowledge. We not give them one prophet, we gave this nation many prophets. We didn't give this nation one scripture, we gave them many scriptures to follow. They had the Zabur, and the Zabur was a book given to Dawud alayhi salam, and the whole book only consisted of the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dawud alayhi salam was such a great prophet given to Banu Israel. He is the only prophet. What did I say? The only prophet in the Quran who Allah has referred to as His Khalifa. Ya Dawud inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard. Regarding Adam alayhi salam, Allah azza wa jalla said, "Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa." There's a nuanced difference there. Regarding Dawud alayhi salam, what did Allah say? Ya Dawud inna ja'alnaka khalifa. These people carry the legacy of Sayyidina Dawud alayhi salam. Such a great prophet that when Adam alayhi salam saw him and saw him in the world of the souls, he said to Allah, this is a sahih riwayah, he said, "Ya Allah, give a portion of my life to this man Dawud because he's a very great person. He's done so much ibadah, he will do so much ibadah of yours, give him a portion of my life." The hadith is in the sahih riwayat, you can check it there and understand the commentary of that. These people, the Jews, were given such knowledge. Allah says they had the knowledge, but what happened? Again and again, and Allah said in the Quran, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ وَالْعَذَابَ بِالْمَغْفِرَةِ. These people, they sold their religion. Scholars for dollars. They didn't act upon what they had. And many of you may be sitting here, "Well, I'm not a scholar, so these verses don't apply to me." No, that's not true. Every piece of knowledge that you gain in your life, it comes with a responsibility. That responsibility is that you are sincere when you gain it. That responsibility is that you seek that knowledge from proper resources, not from every shmo who can say a proper ha or ayn. You make sure that person has isnad. Ibn Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi said, "Al-isnadu min ad-deen. Walawla al-isnad laqala man sha'a ma sha'a." In our deen, we study from teachers. We study from scholars. We don't study from random people who post things on Facebook and they have a lot of likes, so therefore now this person graduates to a doctorate level of Islamic education. This is not our deen. We shouldn't sell our deen so cheap. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, every person that has a knowledge has a responsibility. You seek it sincerely. You seek it from the right sources. You practice it, and lastly, you convey it on to other people. These were people, unfortunately, who didn't do that. Allah says, they مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا. They were given the responsibility of the Torah, they didn't fulfill it. Allah says regarding them, كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ. Their example is like donkeys. يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا, who is carrying volumes. A donkey is in the front and it's pulling a carriage, and on the carriage you have volumes of Sahih al-Bukhari, volumes of Tafsir al-Razi, volumes of Sahih Muslim, volumes of all the fiqh books, Radd al-Muhtar of Ibn Abidin al-Shami, and all these great books, you know, Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi, and all these great scholars, their books are piled up in the back. Do you think this donkey benefits from these books? Yes or no? Not really, right? I mean, the donkey has no idea what's in the book, has no idea, you know, how to benefit from it. بِئْسَ مَثَلُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. How horrible, how evil of an example is it of those who reject the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide the oppressor. Verse number 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further addresses these Jewish rabbis and says to them, "You claim to be scholars? Well, if you were scholars, you would look forward to death, because death connects the lover to the beloved. الْمَوْتُ جِسْرٌ يَصِلُ الْحَبِيبِ إِلَى الْحَبِيبِ. Death is a bridge which connects the lover to the beloved. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا إِنْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ. O those who are Jewish, if you claim that you are the allies and friends of Allah, فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ, then desire death. Seek death. And you will never do that. Why? إِن كُنْتُمْ وَلَا يَتَمَنَّوْنَهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. They will never desire death because they know they've sold their religion. I close with one hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, and some versions of this riwayah have been quoted as a hadith al-Qudsi, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that man ahabba liqa' Allah, man ahabba liqa' Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'ahu. Whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah also loves to meet that person too. Whoever says to Allah, Ya Allah, I look forward to the day that I stand in front of you. That'll be the most beautiful day in my life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala boasts over that servant to the angel and says, that's mine right there. That's my servant right there. وَمَنْ كَرِهَ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ Whoever dislikes meeting Allah, كَرِهَ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَهُ Allah has no interest in meeting you either. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who love to meet Him, who fulfill the responsibility of our knowledge. May He make us people of dhikr and ilm. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be from those who gain this knowledge, this Qur'an, and convey it to the world. The world is waiting for hidayah. Your co-workers, your friends, the community that you drive past every day, the neighborhood you drive in and out of every day, every person that walks through your door to buy something from you every day, those people are craving for hidayah. Their lives are struggling. They're searching for a truth. And here the Muslim Ummah is sitting on the Qur'an, that hidayah, and we haven't conveyed it to them. I fear that on the Day of Judgment, Allah may ask us, that why did you not do it? You think I sent you to America just to earn money? You think I sent you to America to buy a house and get a car? Or did I send you there as an ambassador of this deen? And if Allah asks this question, I'm not sure how many of us will have a good answer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.